Sarah, her daughter, who's been dealing with ongoing health issues of her own. We pray also, Lord, for Barb in the hospital dealing with a fall and some infections. Bless Corey's dad, Tim, as he heads in for surgery after a diagnosis of prostate cancer. And take care of Carol's great-grandson, Waylon, and his family as they face his diagnosis of cancer as well. Be with Eddie, who will need surgery on his hand later this month, and with Tara, whose niece is anxiously awaiting the birth of her son, who will need surgery soon after to repair a heart issue. Lord, we pray too for Matt's brother, Andy, and his family, as his wife, Jen, and their son, Bowen, who have both recently been diagnosed with a rare hereditary heart condition. Lord, have mercy. Be with Tyree and with all those who are incarcerated here at the start of another year. Grant him mercy as he awaits the next hearing in his long legal journey seeking justice. Loving God, hear our prayers for all of these we carry in our hearts. Renew their spirits. May they feel your love surround them. God, we pray for our world, for the fulfillment of the promise of peace on earth. We pray for your promised day when joy outweighs weariness. Until that day, may we continue to look for you in our midst and continue to affirm belovedness in each other. Amen.
Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. These words from O Holy Night were the opening lines of my sermon 5 weeks ago, as we began this worship series on how a weary world might still be able to rejoice. We began with Zechariah's vision in the temple that rendered him mute, recognizing that sometimes our weariness can harden us toward hope. Next, Mary received the surprising news that she was pregnant, and she rushed to be with her cousin Elizabeth, also pregnant. Their connection, their sharing in fear and worry, helped to set them both free to feel both joy and the stress of their situations. Then came the surprise naming of John, a break with tradition that signified that the gift of this child was more than just a gift for his particular family. We explored the need to practice curiosity and practice wonder and awe in our lives, especially when we encounter the unexpected. We sang songs and told stories of hope for a world about to turn with Mary and Zechariah, and we created room and welcome for God and for each other to come and be together. We met Simeon and Anna, who reminded us of the rituals that keep us tied to the people and places where we may experience love, joy, connection, peace, awe, and God. And today we see how those interwoven birth stories of John and Jesus move into adulthood and ministry, hoping in this weary world for our souls to feel their worth. Our scripture reading this morning assumes that we know John has already begun his ministry, that he is drawing crowds of people in to hear God's good news and challenging those people to repent, to turn in their way of thinking and their living. He's been baptizing them. So many, in fact, that he has drawn the negative attention of King Herod and is arrested and put in jail. It is one more way in which this story of God coming to be with humanity in Jesus unfolds in the midst of difficulty and weariness and pain and fear, because he's in jail. But presumably before the arrest, because the scripture says that as many were being baptized, Jesus was also baptized, joining the crowd in the water with John. And in that moment, the scripture says Jesus was praying and that heaven was opened up and God declared to him, "You are my precious child. I am so proud of you. And I love you. You are my beloved." It's a scene that reminds me of Zechariah's prophecy that we heard several weeks ago, where Zechariah takes his child John in his arms and says, you child will be a prophet of the Most High. And in this moment of baptism, it is sort of like God is also taking his child in his arms and speaking tenderly to him, telling him who he is. Friends, it is good news that even Jesus needed to hear. You are precious. You are beloved. And this becomes Jesus' foundation. This is the thing that happens as he sets off into his ministry, as he steps into a life that will be difficult and beautiful, wearying and empowering, hopeful and despairing, full of abundant life, but also full of death. In this moment, God tells Jesus who Jesus is. He is precious and beloved. Now, we live in a time and a culture where that is not always the foundation from which we start. Capitalism and consumerism need us to believe that we're not enough in order for them to thrive. Pain and tragedy can often give us a flawed negative view of ourselves. Competition, or even just the way we're put together, can make us view ourselves as less than, or not enough, or too much, which is not the message at baptism. It is not the foundation for ministry in a weary world. You are precious and beloved, God says. God says it to Jesus, and God says it to you. You are precious and beloved. Can you let that sink in? It can be hard. Can you let it be foundational in your life, in your ministry? I know that we all fall into the trap of trying to be good enough. Because I fall into the trap of trying to be good enough. Whether it's trying to get all the best grades, we all know those students or were those students who didn't necessarily take the hardest classes because we were afraid of what it would do to our GPA. Or who try to do their jobs perfectly or say all the right prayers or read all the right books or master all the right thoughts or parent in exactly the right way for each individual child in our family. We all worry about failing, don't we? And sometimes that worry keeps us small. Sometimes it keeps us safe, but not in a good way. If we can be assured that we are loved fully and that we cannot lose that love, if that is our foundation and everything else can build from there, what might we risk learning? Or what might we try? Or What might we risk learning or trying that we wouldn't risk or try if we felt like messing up could lose it for us? Who might we talk to? Who might we share love with if we didn't have to worry about making sure that we were good enough? What difficult situations might we enter into if we weren't so tied up in trying to get it all right? How might we grow? You see, there is a freedom in being rooted in belovedness. There is a boldness, a willingness to follow curiosity and openness to other people that comes with knowing that you are truly loved, fully. And friends, let me promise you, you are. You are loved. You are. In many Christian traditions, the story of Jesus' baptism is read every single year, and congregants are encouraged to remember their own baptisms. Can you remember your baptism? Or perhaps, more importantly, as we move through this weary world, can you remember that you are loved? Can you remember that you are precious? I wonder how many times Jesus looked back to this moment in the water, when things were really hard, when he was exhausted, when he was sad or lonely. How often did remembering who he was, remembering that he was loved, give him strength or courage or joy? And you, dear children, in all the wonder and challenge of your life, can you look back and remember that you are loved? As you take risks in your faith, or when you are sad, or as you grow, or as you age, can you remember that God calls you precious? When the world tells you that you are not enough, that you have something to prove, remember. Remember your baptism. Remember that you, child, are beloved. You, child, are loved. Amen. You may be seated. Our sending is a poem, and I don't want your legs to get tired, beloved. Sarah R. Speed writes this poem, "The Bravest Thing We Can Do." Trust your belovedness. Let it be a protest, an act of resistance, a song of celebration. Trust your belovedness in a world that is rarely satisfied. Wear it like a badge of honor. Speak it as confidently as your last name. Tattoo it to your heart. When outside forces chip away at your sense of self, when life asks you to hand over the keys, remember the water. Remember creation. Remember how it was good. So very good. Let that truth hum in your veins. Sing it so loud that it drowns out the weariness of the world. For the bravest thing we can ever do is trust that we belong here. Go, family of faith, in the steadfast love of God, for you are precious and beloved. Amen.